Wednesday night. 1 John again, part 10, I think. We're just going to jump right into it here. Verse 1. We have three things I want to talk about tonight. So verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Now, we know that's one thing I'm not going to talk much about. We've talked about it before. But it's very simple. This is what it says. People can make anything they want. This is not what Paul teaches. Paul taught that when he first got saved, as we call it, first got saved and he was talking to Jews. That's the message to the Jews. They just needed to believe that he was the Christ. Not just Christ, but the Christ, the anointed, the Messiah, the Son of God. Okay? So that's tribulation teachings, that's Gospels teachings, that would be even Great Commission teachings. But we're not doing that now. We're with Paul. Faith and trust. Okay, anyway. So whoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. There's that phrase, born, again, born of God, born again. John's the only one that uses that. And if somebody says, well, this isn't talking salvation, well, what does born of God mean? The way it is here, you know. Anyway, that's been over there. Now, here's an interesting verse here, or statement. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. That sounds like who are those comedian guys, you know. Let's read it slowly. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also. So you read it backwards, you know. Let's see here. Loveth him also that is begotten. And what you come up with is this. And everyone that loveth him that begat, that's God, loveth him also that is begotten of him. Him would be God, and Jesus Christ is the one that is begotten of him. So why don't we put a comma in there? Because God doesn't want a comma in there. Why doesn't God want a comma in there? I don't know. I'll ask him someday. I think it's just to keep us on our toes. Just read it slowly. Everyone that loveth him that begat, because we're talking about Jesus is the Christ, and everyone that loveth him that begat, God is the one that begat, loveth him also that is begotten, that's Jesus Christ, of him, that's God. Okay, so that's not so tough, but it makes me stop and want to look at this word begotten and begat, because I wanted to check all that stuff out. Well, begotten is an okay word. It's not a holy word. Paul himself even says here, for though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet ye have not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Okay? So we're actually begotten of Paul on a spiritual realm. That's fine. Paul says in Philemon, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. Okay, so the begotten is not just a whole, because we look at it up in where it says begotten of the Father, the begotten Son, the begotten Son. But there's a word that goes along with begotten that makes it important from God. Verse 1 of chapter 1 of John. Chapter 1, verse 14, I'm sorry, of John. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father. Which makes him, in verse 18, the only begotten Son. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And you can't take the word begotten out of there, the only Son. We are his sons. So you can't take the word begotten out of there. Okay, so that was an easy one, really. Everyone that loveth him that begat, he's the begetter, you know, God, loveth him also that is begotten. Well, we know Christ was the only one begotten, the only Son begotten. So that is begotten, Jesus Christ, of him, back to God again. So it's a statement, makes sense, makes total sense. Verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God. Okay, now here we go. Again, this is tribulation stuff. This is not to us. Here, this is how we know that, you know, by this we know that we love the children of God. When we love God and keep his commandments. What are we talking about here? By this we know. By what we know? Verse 1. that you're of God. Tribulation people, again, tribulation saints, as we could call them. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. So if you're born of God in the tribulation, it's because you believe that Jesus is the Christ. And you love God, and you love Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ, God, begat Jesus Christ as the only Son. We know that. And by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. Again, that's tribulation. We love the children of God today, but we don't know who the children of God are. Really, we don't really. And during the tribulation, it would be as obvious as can be who is a child of God, not only because it says what it says in First John here, but just we think about the fact that they will not be able to buy, sell, or trade. They won't be taking the market. They won't be doing that stuff. They'll be struggling. And you'll know who's a serious Christian, sincere Christian. Today, we have no clue. Anyway, verse 3, okay, kind of ties into the verse 2. For this is the love of God. What is the love of God? Oh, that we keep His commandments. See, there we go. And His commandments are not grievous. Well, of course they're not grievous, but they got the Spirit of God upon their flesh. God isn't asking them to do anything spectacular during the tribulation. He just doesn't want them to take the mark and to worship the devil. In order to do that, he, you know, has to take the mark, and then he can't buy, sell, or trade, and da-da. He doesn't ask. And if you ask him to do a lot, he'll be there to help them do it. The Spirit of God upon their flesh. And Christ will, you know, chastise them and get them back on the thing. They can do it. It can be done. Okay, so what's the love of God during the tribulation? Keeping His commandments. How do we know that we love the children of God? When we love God and keep His commandments and love the children too. And who is born of God during the tribulation? Those that believe that Jesus is the Christ. Okay. So that's 2 points already. Not bad for only 10 minutes, huh? Less than 10 minutes. Wow. Here's the third one. So this might be shorter than I planned, but I tried to do this earlier today when it was quieter on here, but I wasn't the same talking to nobody. Verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God, I like that whatsoever compared to whosoever. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son. There it is again. Who is he that overcometh the world? Is he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Which takes us back to verse 1. That person is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. And by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Well, whosoever believeth that Jesus Christ, there's that little cycle right there. That's not today. Okay, so let's look at that word overcometh. Do you guys remember the days when this Russian evangelist, I cannot think of the guy's name, came by the Tushy Church and presented his ministry, and he's just a little old guy, and he had these little prayer books verses, you know, and everything like that we thought were so great. I remember taking him into town. We were going to play the accordion and sing and do a Bible study for the nursing home thing, and he came in there with us, and he said, "Are you an overcomer?" I said, "Well, you know, what's an overcomer?" And you said, "Well, you know, you're a Christian, right?" He says, "But there's another level of being a Christian, and that's to become being an overcomer." And he said, "Overcomer are those that do everything right now while we're Christians." And I said, "Well, I never heard of that one before. Where do overcomers go when they die? Well, they go to be with God." Well, then, if somebody's saved and is not an overcomer, you know, still doing things wrong on this earth as such, where do they go? He said, "I haven't figured that one out yet." Oh, okay. You know, And again, it's just a classic example. Remember Bob? He was the guy that was there, and he just gets on planes, and he can fly anywhere he wants on Continental because of his daughter, I guess, or something. And he just got on this plane to go back to, I don't know, Kentucky or something like that, and he ended up down in Dallas. He just walks up to the ticket lady and tell him who he is, and they put him on a plane, and he takes off. The guy was hilarious, but overcomers get to be with God, but the ones that are saved but are not overcomers, he didn't know where they go when they die. They can't go to hell because, see, they're saved. That's just crazy. It's almost Mormon. You get the three different levels of heaven, actually. Okay, so let's look at this overcometh thing. Obviously, overcoming the world is a physical thing. Alexei Ledyov, who's that? Ledyov, whatever. So in order to overcome this world, they had a victory with what? With their faith. No, that wasn't his name. I can't think of his name, but I'll dig up. I'll never remember it. I'll never be able to remember it. Sorry, website people. For whatsoever is born of God. Okay, now this is the physical time, right? This is when they'll have to be keeping the commandments and the whole bit. So if they do so, you know, they'll overcome the world. They'll get their victory. And they're going to get their victory because they have a faith. Even our faith. Not by his faith or his faith or the faith, but our faith. So they're going to have to keep the faith, baby. They're going to have to do the commandments. They're going to have to love God. They're going to have to love the children of God. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like what they're trying to get people to do today. Well, sure, we need to get a victory over our flesh and the things that are going on. We need to keep our faith strong. Sure we do. We need to keep the commandments that Paul teaches. We see that, but you see what they're saying? They're trying to get you to keep the commandments, love God, love the brethren. We have got tribulation doctrine being taught today. Without any doubt. This is tribulational stuff that's being taught. Well, maybe we're in the tribulation. You know, I think of that once in a while. Wait a minute, nobody's trying to get me to take a mark. They're talking about it, yeah, but they're not making us take it. And sure, life is terrible. But it's going to be a lot worse. I keep thinking of the World War I and World War II times of the ages, you know, when everybody was at war in the whole world. I can't imagine what it was like that everybody was just bombing and destroying everybody and anybody, and you were living out there. Civil War times. It must have been a terrible time. It must have been a horrible time. Tramping through the forest with one little shot of lead in your gun, and next time when you shoot it, you got to clean your gun and make another one and powder it up and stick it in there. And in the meantime, all those thousands of pieces of lead, and there's guys laying all over the field, shot. A lot of them aren't killed, but they lay there and they die. The pain had to have been. Those have been terrible times. We don't know what it's like to have terrible times. The Depression down in Texas and Oklahoma, even out here in South Dakota, you read stories. It was terrible times. I was watching something today, in fact, where just after Jimmy Doolittle took off for Japan. None of those guys all knew they weren't going to come back because they didn't have any way to land on an aircraft carrier. They took off from an aircraft carrier, but they knew they weren't going to come back. Well, where are they going? Well, they're going to go die in the sea, basically. A couple of them made it back to the land. Then they had to be hiding in China for a while, you know. So we don't know what tough times are like. We can't possibly be in the tribulation. The government's doing dumb stuff. But the government's always done dumb stuff. It's just now that the dumb stuff they're doing is now making it into the major media. Everybody knows it, but they still don't care. It took a while. So we can't possibly be in the tribulation yet. But we sure do see things coming closer. And as far as the message that the preachers will be preaching during the tribulation, they're not going to be preaching the truth. They're not going to be preaching what they're supposed to be preaching. This is right here. They're preaching that stuff today. I'm telling you, I just think what they're going to preach during the tribulation is Paul. That's just what I think, but you know, whatever. Doesn't really say that, necessarily. So, let's look at this overcome thing, though. You know, because Paul does talk about overcoming. He does. He tells us that when we're judged by other people, we can get over that. People judge us all the time, don't they? They think we're nuts, they think you're teaching the wrong thing. They think you're just crazy, da 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 da. But this is a great verse. He says, God forbid, yea, let God be true, every man a liar, as it is written. Now, I know that that's some people's favorite verse, Bob. We know who that is, don't we? Let God be true, every man a liar. It's like he puts that bumper sticker on his truck to remind people he's a liar. If anybody is wearing a label that labels him, he's the guy. I mean, he drives around telling everybody, I am a liar. And people look at him and say, we know you're a liar. Anyway, he never does the second half of the verse. You know, every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, because, see, we're going to say the things God teaches us to be true. So even though we're a liar, we're going to use what God's words are. And we'll be justified with what we say. Because those aren't my words, those are his words. Follow this? Every man's a liar. We're all liars. Nobody wants to admit that. You know? And of all the descriptions of a bad person in the Bible, you know, that what Paul talks about, you know, if you're a fornicator, if you're da-da-da-da, he always throws in the liar, because then that brings everybody else in. So, anytime anybody's thinking they're doing a great job of being a Christian, they have forgotten the fact that they're a liar. Well, how do you know that? Because the Bible says every man is a liar. I don't know if that includes women or not. I don't think they always lie. But anyway, they just put on lies and they do their makeup and they make people think they're really, you know, who they are, but they're not. They wear their lies. There you go. Anyway. But I like this. He says, thou that mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou wert judged. We can get over the fact that what we're telling people, if we're telling them scriptural truth, and rightly dividing, blah, 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 and they say anything they want to you, whether they're your kids or somebody else, we're justified in what we said because God's true. So I just want to make sure they know that it's scripture. And when they judge me for it, we overcome it. Does that make us an overcomer? Not the way it's being talked about here in 1 John. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and it's their faith. And the overcomers are those that believe that Jesus is the Son of God. But there's another place to look, and I find this very interesting for me. And I think we all know where we see the word overcome a lot, and that's Revelation, Book of Revelation. So let's turn to the Book of Revelation. Book of Revelation. I've heard people say that, see, now there's that word, look at chapter 2, look at chapter 2, verse 7, for example. They say here, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of Gehenna. Now, how do they say, well, see, this is a tribulation verse. Well, I'm glad they got that part. There are people that say that these churches are tribulation-only churches. But no, I don't use the word only. Because if I go to chapter 1, verse 19, I see that what the book of Revelation is about. It says, write the things which thou hast seen, the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. So what we have here is we have past, present, and future. So, these seven churches, there's no doubt there's this tribulational aspect of it. But if you also study the seven churches, and you just look through the history of the church as such, the body of Christ as such, until it becomes no longer the body of Christ, you see those seven churches that exist. And if you were to go to a large church, which I did for a number of years, 1,200, 1,500 people, whatever, I noticed why I was just thinking one day, every one of these seven churches was represented within that large congregation of people. And then I think if you look around our country today, you will find those seven churches represented by different local assemblies, depending upon what they're being preached, what they're being taught, how they're responding, all the stuff that goes on. So yeah, past, present, future. So the future aspect of these seven churches is what the tribulation is going to be all about. And these are the guys that during the tribulation, they will become an overcomer because they believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We will not be the overcomers during the tribulation. And there are no overcomers today. Paul never talks about them. He just says that we'll overcome when somebody mocks us because we know we spoke the truth with what God said. Because we're liars. If we give somebody our opinion, hey, we could be lying for all that other person knows. Who knows, you know? When you're in a group of 10 people, or 20 people, or a group of people, or you're around your workplace, and somebody asks you to mention some kind of a Bible thing, and you don't say anything, because you're kind of afraid to, you know, it's your boss, and blah, 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 but here's a fantastic, you know what, you're a liar. And what else, one of my quotes on my, let's see if I can pull it up here, I got this quote on one of my email things here, if I pull up the right one here. And it says here, doesn't say anything. Why is that? How come it doesn't say anything in my emails? Oh, well. If you know it, something not to be true and you don't say anything about it, then you become part of that lie kind of a thing. So when people think that, you know, we say we're a Christian, but we don't show like we're living with Paul, what Paul teaches, and they think that we're just as modern as they are and all that kind of stuff, we're presenting a lie to them. We may not believe that. You know, we don't think that something we should be doing, but we go to it. Well, then we're a liar. So, yeah, we're liars. So we're not overcomers. The overcomers are during the tribulation. Now, if we go through these miscellaneous verses about what these overcomers, and what makes an overcomer, believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Okay, now, we look at verse 7. It says, I would give to eat of the tree of life. Wow. Which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Boy, that's something Paul doesn't talk about for us. That's amazing. Look at verse 11. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Well, that's good. That means being of God, being born of God, is their salvation. Second death, that's the lake of fire. So they're going to have to be overcoming. They're going to have to be earning their salvation. I don't know why these guys say that during the tribulation, why do they say that there's no such thing as faith and works? Well, there it is. To be an overcomer is to believe that you're that Jesus is the Son of God, and if you are born of God, you're going to keep His commandments and love the brethren. That's walk. That's physical. Okay, so we look at verse 17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saying, he that receiveth it. Well, that's, boy, what is that? I don't know, Paul never talks about that. Do you notice anything in there musically? I'll see if anybody types it up on there. So, web camera, we're waiting for somebody to type my answer here. Do you see anything musically in that verse for us? Or to us, that we do. I will give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written. Is that a tribulation song? See? A new name written. That's tribulational stuff here. For the sake of the camera people that are watching this at a later time, nobody did respond on the PAL talk. Anyway, look at verse 26, Revelation 2:26, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works, there it is again. That's walk, you know. To him will I give power over the nations. Wow. Probably not going to have that power during the tribulation because they're going to try to kill him. Must be at that millennium time, huh? Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Revelation 3:5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. Oh, let's see here. I wonder. Let's look at Revelation 19 just for a second here. Most of my sermons or Bible studies I just do out loud, and I think of things as we go here. Revelation 19, when the Lord's coming back, the second coming, as everybody calls it, he says here in verse 8, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, well, that's interesting. Isn't that interesting? Because, see, it says here that will be clothed in white raiment, the tribulation people. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. Does Paul ever warn us about the book of life? No. Revelation does, though, especially at the end there. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Okay? Chapter 3, verse 12. That previous verse was chapter 3, verse 5, in case I didn't say anything. But here we go, Revelation 3, 12. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. And he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. His new name? Wow, this is just far out stuff, isn't it? Why is this so far out? Because Paul doesn't teach any of this stuff. This is tribulation. This is the results of being an overcomer during the tribulation. These things aren't geared for us, you know. These are just the guys that, how do they overcome? During the tribulation, they believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and they keep his commandments, and they don't take the mark. And they keep their faith going. Their faith going. Now, verse 21, chapter 3. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. Wow. Paul tell us about that? Good night, Bob. Does he tell us about that? Paul doesn't tell us about that. He that overcometh, verse 7 of chapter 21, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. I will be his God and he shall be my son. Well, there's that inheritance stuff. Paul does talk about the inheritance stuff. Now, that's fantastic stuff for tribulational times, and that's fantastic stuff for what these guys are going to get by being overcomers, and we know that they're going to become an overcomer based on 1 John. Nothing that Paul teaches makes us those kind of overcomers. Just because we believe that Jesus is the Son of God doesn't make us an overcomer at all. If somebody's going to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, chances are they're going to look to be saved. No. There's Christians. There's self-proclaimed denominational Christians all over this world that believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but they've never trusted him. They don't even read what he talked to them through Paul. So, they're not overcomers. Well, neither are we. But I will say this, according to what I've been able to learn myself, if somebody were to ask me, I would tell them, well, if you haven't put your trust and faith in Jesus Christ, according to Paul, the way he's taught things, you have another Jesus, and you will have your opportunity to overcome. God will give you the spirit of God will give you his spirit upon your flesh, even during the tribulation, and you will have your opportunity, modern Christian. You'll get your chance to keep his commandments and to love the brethren and to keep your faith going. You'll get your opportunity. And if you can keep it and overcome all that stuff and stay able to escape the pollutions of the world, like Peter talks about, you know, and all these things, man, you know, good for you. You got yourself quite a bunch of stuff coming. You're going to get to eat of the tree of life. You're not going to be hurt at the second death, just like we're not. And you're going to get a new name, and you're going to, you know, get the power over the nations, the millennium. And this is exciting stuff. You'll be clothed in white raiment when he comes back, and you'll make a pillar in the temple of God. I mean, this is, you'll be to sit with him at the throne. That's what Revelation 4 and 5 is about. Isn't that exciting? I'm going to stick with what Paul teaches and let Christ have done everything for me. And I could just reasonably, what I could do just reasonable is to try to make my body a living sacrifice. Not doing the greatest at it, but I don't want to be an overcomer. The only thing I want to be able to overcome is when somebody harasses me for what I believe, and even after a while I get tired of that. But I just sit here and think, well, you know, I've taught you what I believe to be the truth, and I hope I can keep doing it for the next couple of years, no matter where I move, no matter what's going on, no matter what the money is. I just hope I can keep this going. I believe it to be the sayings of God taught to us during the dispensation of grace. And we are learning about what these guys are going to be like in the tribulation. Boy, I'm not interested. But I'd be glad to tell somebody about it. And these guys who think that we're nuts, saying that the tribulation is faith plus works, they haven't divided their Bible at all. They're caught up in the tribulational doctrine right now. They're teaching tomorrow's doctrine today. We talked about that for a sermon title one time. So there you go. That's enough to think on right there. That's three things. You know, we looked at begotten, and we looked at keeping his commandments, and we looked at overcomers. That's plenty to chew on right there. Pass it on to Daniel. Jeanette, I know he'd love to hear that stuff because we hear these preachers all the time preaching tribulation doctrine. And they're just getting people ready, I guess, for when the tribulation comes. And then they'll probably preach Paul. Who knows? Well, good night, folks. We'll see you later.